shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth.
Amen.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with joyful singing. Know that the Lord, he himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves.
Amen.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness or mercy
is everlasting.
Yes, and his faithfulness or truth
endures forever.
Amen.
Amen.
I was on the train in my trip to California, and by God's providence, I was sitting amongst the Amish people. I was right next to a young Amish man. I call him young. He was slightly younger than me. Interesting in what did not take place. But I'll save that for another time. I was ecstatic when the train personnel who chose seat numbers, I was already on the train. When they came on in Eugene, I was ecstatic that of all the empty spots, they were given the ones right around me, wearing what I was wearing when I was last before you, my suit and tie, with my Bible, sitting there in that seat by myself, and a man with a black brimmed hat and a blue shirt and a black vest sits down right next to me. And the rest of his entourage of Amish people from Pennsylvania sat around us. Great opportunity, right? I'll share later what did and did not transpire. But it was interesting as we were training along over the rails, a lot of sheep kept showing up in the fields, especially as we were down between Woodburn and Salem. All beautiful green fields with a bunch of sheep. And he was pointing out every flock of animals. We would see beef cattle and other things and goats, and the Amish were excited looking out the window. And I kept thinking, what a great example, not of the 23rd Psalm, which everybody thinks of automatically, but what we just did together, Psalm 100. We are his people.
Amen.
And the sheep of his pasture.
Amen again.
And I appreciate all of your thoughts and concerns and prayers while I was gone. I missed not being here. That is the longest I've ever been gone in 23 years. It was weird. It's really strange. And I was in my hometown. But since being at Logan, I have never been gone that long. That was odd. But it's going to be better. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is with great rejoicing in our hearts and minds and spirits that we can gather together now and say truthfully and sincerely from the heart, Lord, all praise be unto your sovereign name that you have made us the people of your hand and the sheep of your pasture.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we are needy creatures. We recognize in one sense that we can indeed do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But Father, we also couple with that the words of our Lord himself, we can do nothing apart from him. We do understand that you are the giver of all good things. We do recognize that if we are ever going to do anything right, if we are ever going to continue to proceed in the walk of faith, it is only by your grace, your guidance, your strength, your truth, Father, all that you provide for us. You are the giver of life, breath, and all things, and we praise you wholeheartedly.
Amen. Amen.
As your created creatures, and secondly, as those whom you have drawn to yourself, causing us to be born again from above, by the power of your Spirit and through the propitiatory sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May this service be a blessed one in your sight. May all of it redound to your greater glory, exaltation, and we will thank you for the ability to worship you in spirit and in truth and to enjoy again the peace, the love, and the unity that you have fostered amongst us here at Logan by your own sovereign hand and kindness. In that we praise you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please open your hymnals to 262? I sat down there at the breakfast table at my parents' house every morning. I wrote all sorts of notes. Now I'm trying to organize them. Some of them. 262, please. Thank you. You should see in your hymnal, holy, 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 right? Thrice holy. I wrote on the board in the Sunday school class, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And that's true. But then I wrote 3 cubed, which is 27. It's different, right? It's exponentially multiplying. Holy, 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 or talking about God being thrice holy, it is an injustice to think 1 + 1 + 1. Unless you're talking about the Trinity. But when you're talking about his infinite holiness, I think cubed is a better concept. His holiness is so immense, so infinite, so far beyond us here below, I hope we understand that the totality of it is more than we could possibly grasp. I think Christianity today would be well served if they gave greater thought to the holiness of God.
Amen.
Our first thought as human beings, even those saved by grace, even those who have walked with God for a number of years, my first thought is still to check yourself before waltzing into the presence of Almighty God Himself. He is infinitely holy, and we should never lose sight of that. Holy, righteous, sublime, glorious, perfect, untarnished, untainted, unspotted, without defect.
To all of those. Yes.
And then we say, dwelling in unapproachable light. He is holiness itself. That's why the Bible says God is holy. God
Amen.
Is love. He's the source.
Amen.
If we can demonstrate any holiness whatsoever, it only comes through Him.
Yes.
And it comes by virtue of the fact that He has changed us and given us the ability to demonstrate to some small degree the holiness that was supreme in Jesus Christ, our head. Which we were talking about in Sunday school as well. So I just wanted to share that at the starting, because this is a beautiful hymn. And the holiness of God is one of His characteristics. I'll say this real quickly. We talk about the attributes of God. We talk about the attributes of human beings. Their abilities are characteristics that can be found in said individual. The problem is, we understand when we say, that individual is athletic. That individual is creative. That individual is industrious. That individual is intelligent. Attributes. They're good. They're kind. They're giving. They're selfless. They're humble. They're short. They're tall. Whatever. When we do it with God, it's almost like attribute falls short. Because He's the source of the things we're talking about.
Amen. Amen.
He doesn't wear an attribute like taking upon Himself love or humility or mercy. He's the sum, essence, total source and spring of all of those things.
Hallelujah.
So when we talk about the holiness of God, it's eternal.
Yes.
And it's infinite. Please open your Bibles to John 14. I really, really appreciate how emphasizing the Trinity. We were just talking about that Sunday school. Nancy brought it up. It fit with this hymn, didn't it? It was the appropriate place. Holiness is not just attributed to God the Father. It's attributed to the Son and to the Spirit. And in Sunday school, we were talking about the purity of Christ. We were talking about His sinlessness. We were even talking about the deity and righteousness that He has, and the righteousness and holiness He earned as a human being for us in the transaction of propitiation. So it all tied in perfectly.
Amen.
And Alfonso, I appreciate that immensely.
Amen.
It's wonderful when things mesh together or dovetail together, so to speak, if you're a carpenter. John 14, please, as we come to the time of prayer, and I will answer some of the questions that people have texted and emailed me at this time. But as always, I want to center it in God's Word. 3 weeks ago when I was here, and probably the Wednesday before that, we were talking about God answering prayer. And I gave the Wednesday night class examples of all of the times that I got specific answers to prayers I prayed. They're so numerous, I don't think I could number them. And that is not a prideful statement, it's a humble one. Because you take away those answered prayers, and I'm left with nothing. All the praise goes to God.
Amen.
It breaks my heart when Christians pray, but they don't pray in a way where they receive what they pray for. We need to pray specifically and correctly in the name of Christ, and you will see answer after answer after answer after answer. So in John 14, verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Christ speaking, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So again, it comes back to the glory of God in answering our prayers. Verse 14, he repeats it for emphasis, for assurance, and for comfort. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Hallelujah.
We can make a sermon out of the words, I will do it. We will look at the I, we will look at the will, the do, and the it. And we could do it, we could sermonize that statement alone. Promises by Christ. Okay, questions about my Father. One I've received from a lot of people, how's my dad doing? Relatively speaking, in consideration of where he's at and what he has, pretty good. He's undergoing two different types of chemo treatment, and he's receiving most of it at home. That doesn't get much better than that. He's not in the hospital dragging an IV tray, one of those hospital gowns, to that bathroom, probably with cohabitants of his room. He's at home. And I was able to talk to him for quite a while about that, and he agreed. It doesn't get much better than this compared to a lot of people with cancer. My aunt just had it last year. She was in the hospital. Most people end up there. At this point in time, he's not. If it gets to the place of surgery, he will have to go down to Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, but we'll meet that if it comes. Right now, comparatively speaking, he's doing okay. And from a real perspective, really, it couldn't get any better.
Amen.
He's at home. And for the most part, it was him, my mother, and me. And it was very peaceful and pleasant and enjoyable. It was a nice stay. And I appreciate that. Second question, what will be the end result of what my dad is suffering with? Spindle cell sarcoma. This is my answer, and I hope everybody hears it. It would be ridiculous, presumptuous, and wrong and rude for me to make any kind of guess or conjecture whatsoever. Not even the doctors. No. I can't say one way or the other what the result of this is going to be. I don't have that knowledge. No one does when it comes down to it. Humanly speaking, he's receiving what he needs. Where it will lead, we will see. But I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to make any statements. We'll see. So that's my answer to that. And that should suffice at this point in time. That's the only answer we can give. In line with the verses I read out of John in answered prayer, and I'm going to use Vicki for a moment because Vicki sent me a text and she encapsulated in what she said pretty much the way I pray. And I hope you understand what I'm saying, and if you know me, you will. My first and foremost prayer was not for his healing physically. There are other things that are more paramount and larger. Even if one of us was in that position, our prayers, I hope, would still gravitate to spiritual strength, being useful to those around us, glorifying God in the midst of our trials and whatever suffering we're experiencing, being thankful at every moment, all those things, right? When you think about all the ways we can pray as a believer, by the time you ever get down to the physical circumstances, you've already covered 19 or 20 different things. Vicki was correct that God would give me strength, would give me grace, would give me ability, would give me humility, would give me opportunity. Those are all true.
Amen.
God answered them again and again and again and again and again and again. Remember, I told you I was going down to serve. It wasn't a vacation. It was pleasant to be with my parents. I love them dearly. But the point was to alleviate some of the pressure and burden of where they're both at and to do whatever it meant, no matter how menial, to give them a break.
Yeah.
So when you go with that mindset, and this could be any of you in my place, and if you pray those things, and I say this and I do not exaggerate, not a moment went by when there wasn't some way, if handled correctly, to be a blessing and a help to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
because that's why I went.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even if it's dusting something because a mom couldn't get to it. Taking out the trash, doing the laundry. I mean, all you have to do is think about the things that could be done. Not a moment went by. Even when I worked out a little bit and I ran a bit. But even then, the point was that I would stay strong and physically capable of doing the things I wanted to do for my parents.
Amen. Good.
And staying refreshed rather than completely being in their face all the time. So even those moments, if used correctly, were answers to prayer because my sole focus was to be a help. So I hope everybody gets that and understands that. So the number of prayers that were answered in 19 days, I couldn't count. And it may just be simple things to a lot of people, but sometimes it's the simple things of life that are the most appreciated.
Amen.
And it's those
Amen.
Simple daily chores that we take for granted when now you can't do them are important. Walking, breathing, right? Being able to eat correctly, having your organs work in a proper manner, whatever it might be. So I wanted to share that. These verses are true. The thing is, you need to recognize what's the will of Christ. What would he have us do? Pray accordingly. You'll get answers all the time. If you pray for opportunities to serve and you walk out of your house every day with your eyes wide open, you will be inundated with opportunities to be a blessing to others, even if it's very simplistic.
Amen.
Even if it's giving someone else a place in line at the grocery store because they have one item and you've got a basket full.
Mm-hmm.
Or helping an elderly person put their groceries in their car and taking their cart back in for them.
Yes.
Those kinds of things.
Yes.
Saying a kind word to someone who looks down and out. Asking about them. It really isn't that hard. So I wanted to share that. Christians move through the world thinking about Christ and thinking about his promise, and they pray accordingly, and the answers come one upon another. They just continue to flow. So I thank you for your prayers, your concerns, your thoughts, your best wishes, all of that. I missed you. It's great to be back. It was weird not being here, but praise God, here we are again together now. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now recognizing yet again that you are indeed the source of all good things. You are the giver of all that we are in need of. And Father, not just life and breath, but yes, the all things.
Amen.
And if we really think about our mission in this world as followers of Christ, we recognize we've been called to be ambassadors of light.
Amen.
We've been called to serve in any capacity, in any way, and at any time. And Father, we thank you for the tremendous opportunities to be witnesses for our Lord and Savior by striving with a gracious, kind, and compassionate nature, patiently and humbly doing things that you placed before us, that Christ would be made known, that others would be blessed, and ultimately, Father, you would be glorified.
Amen.
We thank you for the promises in your word. We believe in them wholeheartedly. We live upon them daily. By your grace, may we continue to do so as long as we draw breath.
Yes.
May we continue to progress as believers who, yes, are in the world, but not of the world, and yet so enmeshed in the world around us, not to be tainted by it, but to be cognizant of the problems, the cares, the troubles, the needs, that if we can possibly alleviate, meet, help, do something to convey love and kindness, Father, give us the ability to do so.
Yes.
We thank you for that. We thank you for giving us purpose, for giving us life, for giving us an inheritance that will never fade away, eternal in the heavens through Jesus Christ, our great mediator. Praising you for the continued time together this morning and asking your continued blessing upon it. In his holy, mighty, and precious name.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to Galatians, please. You see on your bulletin that we are in chapter 1, verse 13. We will back up just to set a bit of context with verses 11 and 12. But that is where we are at. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as always, we approach your word with care. We approach it with great love. We approach it with expectation, recognizing that those who come to your word with the blessed Spirit inside of them to be guided and strengthened and pruned and conformed to the blessed image of our Lord and Savior are coming in the right way. So, Father, with great reverence, we approach the holiness of your word now and do ask and trust and humbly pray that this time would not be wasted, but edifying,
yes,
sanctifying,
yes,
strengthening,
amen,
and comforting and encouraging and all else that your word is to us. And for that, we would be forever grateful in the precious and holy name of the Word himself, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 13 is what we're after. Paul writes in verse 13 of Galatians 1, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That's the King James, and I like it. The words may sound archaic in modern day ears, but I like the emphasis and the thrust and the grammar and the language of the way that was written. Verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, Paul writes, "But I certify you, I make known unto you, I disclose unto you, I verify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Period. Declare the statement. He says it again, verse 12. He is adamant about this point. He'd already said it in verse 1. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's say something about that. First, when Paul was saved on the Damascus Road, blinded by the bright light, God speaking to him from heaven, that experience, and then later, having the scales fall from his eyes, right, and the whole man Ananias, when Paul was transformed and converted by that Damascus Road experience, right, an incredible thing, he did not receive that knowledge or that experience from any one who was human at that point in time. There was not an evangelist or a missionary on the Damascus Road who stopped Paul and his party and said, "Brother Saul, I've got something to say to you." It was a direct revelation from God. It did not come from a human source. Because he says, "From, I did not receive it from man." Also, it didn't originate from man. The gospel is not of human origin. It's divine. Let's emphasize that because people lose sight of that. I was talking to someone while I was in California, and they were sharing something with me that was a little bizarre, but they were asking me a question based on it. And I had the great opportunity to say at the end, I say, "Everything you were talking about that you heard from someone else, I can tell you right now, is not true. But I'm going to give you, in the short time I have right now to share this with you, I do know something that is true. Jesus Christ was born into this world and he lived a holy life."
Amen. Amen.
He died on a Roman cross at the hands of the Romans by instigation of the Jews. Historical fact. He was buried, being brought down dead off the cross, and he rose again on the third day. Those are objective, verifiable facts. And I will base my life on it. But everything that was subjectively shared, what you were talking about, is based on nothing. Human feelings, human emotions, human thoughts. The gospel did not originate with man. So my question for you is, what did originate with man? Think about it. Think about society. Think about relationships. Think about religion. Let's just name some things. We've got Christianity, totally divine, God-made. The gospel is God's idea. We never would have come up with it. Not a million years of mankind would have come up with God becoming a man, humbly, as a servant, to die that death as a substitutionary, propitiatory sacrifice for us. We never would have come up with it. What did we come up with? Catholicism, Mormonism, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, ancestral worship, atheism, agnosticism, animism, New Age beliefs, on and on and on I could go, right? Every human contrived religion fits into what I just named. They're all false.
Amen.
They do not base what they believe upon anything objective. Christianity sets forth Jesus Christ, and upon him it rises or falls.
Hallelujah.
To destroy our faith, you've got to knock down Christ. Correct, right?
Mm-hmm. Right on.
We are challenged for being exclusionary. There aren't many roads to God. It's not an eclectic concept where you pick and choose from a variety of religions and philosophies and you come up with something that works.
Nope.
It's either in the Bible and true, which we can also verify and prove. How many times have we given reasons why the Bible is God's word? Objective proof to demonstrate this is God's divine word.
Amen.
And in it is the gospel, God's divine idea, and in that is the only salvation known to man. The things I just named that man came up with, false. And you'll end up and remain utterly lost. Paul is adamant about that. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It comes from God. He says it again, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. John asked a question in Sunday school, how quickly Paul's knowledge took off. My answer is automatic. God sanctified and turned that man's knowledge into gold so fast, he hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But even the knowledge he had before, which he was using incorrectly, God gave him the ability to grasp to that degree and to accumulate because Paul had given an intelligent and quick mind.
Mm-hmm.
But, and let's say this, in refuting the concept of man's ability and the freedom of the will to choose what is good, Paul was an intelligent man. Paul was steeped in Old Testament learning. What's he doing at this point in time? Look at verse 13. Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. Didn't I name Judaism? Catholicism, Mormonism, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, right? Judaism was in there, man-made. They ran amok with their own traditions. They distorted and perverted what God had given them. That's why he calls it the Jews' religion. It's not God's. You have heard of my conversation. Now, this is a great word in the King's English. It means conduct. It means behavior. It means lifestyle. We think of conversation as audible speaking. But as a person thinks within their heart, so they are. And usually in their words, even as hypocrites, you will find them to be false if you listen to everything they say. People speak, and it comes from where? That's why the King James uses the word conversation for conduct, behavior, the entire flow of one's life. You have heard of my conduct in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. For all his intelligence, for all his learning, for all his knowledge of the Old Testament, where did it get it? Persecuting and crushing the very thing that was most precious in God's eyes. So much for the will of man. So much for the ability of man. Paul failed miserably as an intelligent human being. It still amazes me that here we are 2,000 years later, and I even hear Christians talking about free will. It's bondage to sin is what it is.
Yep.
No one has the ability to choose good in and of themselves if they're dead to sin and lost.
Yeah.
The Bible is adamant about that. So Paul tells you, this is where I was. In all my knowledge and all my learning and all my Pharisaical ways, I was entirely lost. I was the chief of sinners. Paul had everything going for him from a Jewish perspective, and he failed miserably. Everybody's following, right?
Yep.
Martin Luther entered a monastery thinking he could work his way closer to God. His failure in that monastery drove him to his knees. And then he realized, righteousness only comes from God.
Amen.
I will never
Amen.
Win on my own. And then he took off.
Yep.
With Amen. Justification by faith alone. Which is why he wrote a commentary on Galatians. So don't miss that. Because the whole point of my sermon, what's the title? True Christianity. I was really tired last night. My wife wanted a title. And that's what I gave. This is what I want you to see. And I know I'm speaking to the choir. We're all saved, right? We're all Christians, correct? And we know what that means. We can even draw a timeline of propitiation on the board. We did it in Sunday school. The thing is, and here's a neat little teaching point. Go to verse 14, please. I've got to flip the page in my Bible to get to verse 14, because verse 13 is the bottom of this page. Christians should know their Bible so well that you already knew in your mind if you had to flip a page. If you were memorizing a passage, you knew you had to flip the page to get to the next part. I have to get to verse 14 by flipping a page. We should be so familiar with the Word of God that oftentimes we know in our minds, I had to flip the page to get to the rest of that memory verse, or to get to the rest of that quote. Verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. He exceeded all of those around him, all of his peers. He outstripped them. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Zeal and fervency are a good thing, but most often they're not. They're only good when they are founded in truth and guided by truth. Zeal and fervency by themselves. Kamikaze pilot, who's Japanese. An Islamic worshiper who's got a bomb strapped to his back. You see where we go with this? Fervency and zealousness. That's what hung Christ on the cross. From a human perspective. The very people who were saying, Hosanna, the son of David, are now crying out, crucify him, give us Barabbas.
Yep.
That's why he didn't entrust himself to mankind. But at the same time, we know Jesus laid his own life down willingly, wasn't taken from him.
Amen.
But
Amen.
A human perspective, they called for it.
Amen.
I wanted you to see how far Paul had gone in being totally worthless and totally lost. He was intelligent, he was bright, he was energetic, he was zealous, he was fervent, he was committed, he was single-minded, and he was wrong in every one of them. Then God took those traits, founded them on the rock of Christ, and Paul took off in the right direction after doing a 180, and he went at 100 miles an hour, or 200, John said.
Yeah.
He took everything he had that was wrong, and God put it right, and Paul saw everything clearly and moved forward unswervingly. He was transferred out of darkness into light.
Amen.
This is what I want you to see. We usually use Paul as a dramatic conversion, right? None of us have experienced the Damascus Road. That was incredible, and it was miraculous. He says himself, he received it by revelation from Christ. None of us received it that way. He received direct divine revelation from God's Son himself, from heaven, in his exalted humanity. How many people could make that claim? Just Paul. So we're not going to go in that direction. Our revelation is right here in God's Word. Some of it written by, a great deal of it written by Paul. What I want you to see, and again, yes, I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to remember this all the time. Christianity is a dramatic change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anybody can claim to be a follower of Christ.
Yep.
But are they really one? If you've been transformed, it may not be on the scale of Paul, but we were just as lost, and if we've been saved, we are just as saved.
Amen.
We're not just as gifted. We're not just as knowledgeable. We're not placed in the same office as Paul. But if we're saved, are we any less saved than him?
Nope.
No, we'll all receive the same inheritance. And we'll all receive it how? By grace, through God who gives it, which is verse 3 of Galatians 1. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I wanted to point out. I wanted to point out that this was Paul, but once he was saved, it was no longer Paul. He became a new creature. We have memory verses in 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 5, we have three of them. We walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 7. What else do we have in that passage? We have verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then we have verse 17.
Yeah.
Therefore, if any man or woman or child is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Now, ladies, one of my favorite parts of the Christian church, ladies have been great behind the scenes. You read about Christianity in the past, and you come across women serving in the way I was talking about earlier, doing those menial tasks, following Christ and his apostles, but taking care of their needs out of their means. I've got nothing but admiration for those gals. Ladies, you were not skipped in what we sang, 477. There wasn't there a verse in stanza 3 about men being strong? I hope the ladies realize that's men, mankind. Men, women, children, whoever belongs to Christ, place yourself. Everybody saw that, right? You were not excluded there. I wanted to say it, and I forgot. I'm saying it now. By the way, the Jews' religion, what's it available? What does it matter today? You're Jewish. 2,000 years of rejecting Christ? I mean, that's one way of summing it up, right? Besides getting into all the stereotypes and all the other things we could say, if you're Jewish today and you're not a Christian, 2,000 years of rejecting your Savior. Ours too, but from that perspective, given to you first. 2,000 years of rejecting Christ, which is why they made the list. Religion made by man, Catholicism, Mormonism, Judaism. I came to church this morning with a big smile on my face because I passed our church sign. Does anybody else know what it says? It's a beautiful psalm. Kathleen puts stuff that's not only thoughtful and biblical, she puts stuff that's challenging. It's so dovetailed with what we read in 11 and 12, it's absolutely perfect. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Amen.
If you look at our country today, most people are putting confidence in themselves. And that's to our great demise and destruction. That verse is so powerful and so true, and if they look at it, it's so thought-provoking. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I put almost no confidence in man. I believe in my fellow believers, and I appreciate your service and your prayers, and I trust in you as a brother and sister in Christ, but my confidence is in the Savior that resides in you.
Amen.
And in what he's done through you and what he is making you and forming you to be. So even as believers, together in this place, our confidence still remains in the God who saved us.
Yes, indeed. Amen.
And if we see a gift in someone else, I praise God for what he did in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thank them for it. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. I said, I love our church sign as I drove by it. Because unfortunately, most of the church signs I see today are a waste of time or harmful. Ours are beautiful. You can put a verse that is true and biblical but not challenging. That verse is challenging. Most people automatically put trust in themselves and they put it in others. They don't put it in God. And their definition of God is inaccurate. So I wanted to share that. Made me smile as I came to church this morning. Our church sign is beautiful. I love it. And I hope people read it as they go by. Let's just make a couple of other statements. Christianity is being moved out of darkness into light. Amen. It's going from spiritual death to spiritual life. Amen. While we were dead in trespasses and sins, God quickened us, King James, made us alive together with him.
Amen.
When Christ rose from the dead, spiritually speaking,
we did.
In time, so did we.
Yep. Amen.
We were raised up with him. Bible says it.
Yes.
Christ says very specifically, contrary to a lot of the statements we hear today, he said, you're either for me or against me. I don't care how sweet someone may be. I don't care how kind, philanthropic. I don't care how nice, how congenial, how pleasant, what a good citizen, what a good parent. If they are not in Christ, they are not doing anything in his name. They are not doing anything to glorify God. Therefore, in Christ's eyes, they are against him. Because they were created by him, they were gifted by him, they were given all their opportunities by him, and they don't thank him one moment of their lives. Humanly speaking, they're good people. In God's eyes, they're doing nothing. We have to see that. You're for me or against me. To be a Christian is to not only have changed places out of darkness into light, we've changed affiliation.
Amen.
We belong to God.
Amen.
We belong to God, and that needs to be evident in our lives. Secondly, to emphasize mankind being lost. The man in natural state is at enmity with God, Romans 8, 7. They can't do anything to please him, nor do they want to. And that's just true. That's just true. And it's easy to see. translated out of darkness into light. Let's say a few more things that we can say about that out of ignorance and knowledge. Paul was highly intelligent as a Pharisee, trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He outstripped, as he said himself, most of his contemporaries and peers. He'd gone way beyond them in zeal for the Jews' religion. But in God's eyes, he was ignorant and as dumb as a beast. Because out of all that knowledge, he never arrived at the truth. Until God shined his light upon it, made that knowledge come alive, put it in the proper order, and then Paul saw it all. But in of himself, and all his intelligence, all his worldly learning, all his understanding, he failed miserably. We are taken out of ignorance into knowledge. You may have known something about Christ and Christianity before you were saved, but did it all change when you were saved? It all did for me. I could have talked about Christ, I guess, to a small degree as an unbeliever, but once I was saved, totally different. We need to recognize those things. I was lost, and now I'm saved.
Amen.
We need to see people that way. We're not going to be judgmental. We're not going to be critical. But we need to be discerning. Giving everybody the benefit of the doubt and thinking that everybody is saved and that everybody's going to heaven is contrary to the Bible. You're doing yourself a disservice by thinking that way. And you're doing them one if you're not going to talk to them about the Christ who saves.
Yep.
Paul says, you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. In his mind, it's all past. But at the same time, he never forgot it. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Another way of saying wasted, destroyed. He was enchaining men and women and children and hauling them off to be incarcerated. And hopefully, in his eyes, put to their death. How big a transformation is Christianity? Paul went from being one of the greatest enemies of the church to being the greatest apostle the world has ever known.
Hallelujah. Yes, he did.
In my mind, he was the greatest evangelist. He was the greatest preacher. He was the greatest theologian. He was the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Christ only being out in front of him. Paul stands by himself alone in all those categories. No one even comes close. But he was completely at the other end of the spectrum. He was trying to destroy the thing that he then built up and advanced with everything within him, but by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's Christianity. It may Amen. Not be that extreme for us, but someone should see life without Christ, life with Christ.
Amen.
Passion, fervency, purpose, truth, a difference in that individual. We are no longer what we were. We are now new. And so, yeah, Paul writes verse 13 and 14 in a negative way. But we know the positive. That needs to be us. Don't shortchange your salvation because it didn't match Paul's. It did match his. You were just as lost. You were just as much on the road to hell and just as much deserving of it. And now we are just as much saved by God's grace as the Apostle Paul ever was. Either the starting of his life or the end of his race, his salvation was always the same. What he did was dramatic, but being saved by the blood of Christ, we stand on the same footing. Don't shortchange your transformation. We belong in the same category. We were darkness. We now bask in the marvelous light and the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what I wanted to show this morning. I know you know it, and I know you've heard it. Don't lose sight of it. It's what should animate and elevate and extend our Christianity forward. God saved us, and he did it just as powerfully as saving Paul. Less drama.
Yeah.
Less known, you could have been saved all by yourself in a closet reading God's word.
Mm-hmm.
But the change was just as incredible.
Amen. Amen.
In verse 4, we're told that God raised up his son from the dead. God's the only one that can raise the dead. How does he raise the dead today? He raises them spiritually. People are dead and they are given spiritual life. And that is something we should never overlook. It is something we should always look for. It is something we should long to be a part of. It is something we should pray for. Make that the focus of your prayers. Leave the physical and other things further back along that line. Seeing people saved, no matter what their circumstances, that's the ultimate goal.
Yes, amen.
He who saves soul is wise. Proverbs, right? Mm-hmm. Please rise for the benediction. I find I'm out of time. But it's good to be back. Cherish being here amongst you yet again. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the few verses and the time that we have this morning to look into them. We recognize that mankind left to themselves have devised and brought forth nothing but that which is ultimately false. Mm-hmm. Yep. But Father, when we look into your word and you open our eyes and you shine your light into our hearts and minds and we see that which is divine, that which is originated by you, that which is true, objective, powerful, transforming, we can't help but stand in wonder and amazement that you have included us in the great throng that you have caused to be sheep in your pasture.
Hallelujah.
Father, may we recognize each and every day that the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
And that we are here below to do your bidding and to walk in that newness of life that you have transferred us into out of the darkness in which we dwell. Praising you for it, asking your continued blessing and kindness and goodness upon this congregation and all of our efforts, no matter how weak and frail they might be in and of ourselves, all of our efforts to do good in the name of the one who has done everything for us and who is our all in all, our head, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator, our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.